righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll take calamari, some stone crabs. You got any bibs for the lobster? Ryan Hot Take Hickey is in studio, and the man's is in a tux. What's going on, my guy, Ryan Hot Take Hickey?
You want bibs? We got bibs for you. We got bibs and a lot more.
Well, what's up with this tuxedo? What's going on? Why are you in a tux?
Interview today, so I figured, you know.
Interview
today. Overnight position is open.
Oh!
Met with some of the big bosses, and I figured, well, most people wear a suit. How can I differentiate myself when I look like a clown? So I don't wear a tux.
Now, I don't want to talk too much about the vacant overnight position because I'm a team player here. I'm a company guy, and I don't want to say something that could annoy the bosses because they don't usually like when these jobs are open and we talk about them publicly, but now we know a candidate for the overnight job.
There you go.
You know?
In the flesh, I've revealed myself.
Pat Boyle's going to show up for something fancy next week. David Shepard. So I'm just saying, if people want to suck up to us on the afternoon shift, we will take it. You could openly campaign. Hickey didn't bring any gifts, just saying. So if someone wants to bring me dinner, someone wants to bring me a snack.
$500? You know, is that a number?
A little money? You know, I could be bought.
He takes bribes.
I could be bought. I am like the NCAA before the NIL and all that stuff. You want to drop off a bag of cash? I'm not going to pursue anything and try to get you in trouble until the allegations and the crime is actually committed and ends up getting brought to the public. So
he can
bring anything?
Be bought.
You bring anything?
I brought my presence, which I thought was going to be good enough.
Okay. That's fine. You brought some takes. Well, you're the first person. So you wore the tuxedo.
So next person has to give you $500. The next person after that has to buy you a steak dinner. Next person after that, I mean.
Yeah. Now I will say this.
Buy you a vacation.
When you first got here, you were like a little quiet, you know, nice guy. I'm not saying that you're like an a-hole now and you're a douche. But
basically,
you were like a little timid.
Sheesh.
This is,
of course, as I should be.
Yeah, fair.
You come in here, you be quiet, you put your head down, do the work.
Sure.
And then as people trust you, you start to open up a little bit.
But the last few years, you've really leaned into kind of finding your voice, the entertainment part of the business, you know, embracing the brand that is Hot Take Hickey, which is partially created because of me. But that's fine. This is now the second time that you've wore the tuxedo for a job interview. What was the first job you were interviewing for?
Actually, I've technically worn it three times.
Wait,
I wore it once for when DA's producer job opened and Sean Marash went down the hall.
Which never actually got filled.
Which never got off the ground. Then basically we did the whole process over again for when Maggie and Perloff came into the morning show and that producer job was open.
But Spike was here. He was the boss.
Correct. And so DA never saw it. Maggie and Perloff never saw it. And now interviewing Ryan Hurley, he's never seen the tux. So I figured, okay, it's still not... I'm not going back to the well one too many times. David's seen it, now Ryan, so I figured this is the last time I could kind of break it out where it's still fresh eyes, and this is the first time they see it.
And either this goes one or two ways. You either get the job, and then you don't need the tuxedo again, or you don't get the job, and then it's swing and a miss. Three strikes, you're out.
0-2 right now. I guess we want to say technically the DA's. The tux has not exactly brought some luck. So either we're going to break the streak or we're going to burn the tux. One of the two.
So Tux Take Hickey is here with us today. And I actually got a tweet about you. I got a lot of tweets about you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I get about my team's getting mushed. Oh, here we go again.
God.
Oh, this Hickey said this, and then I was instantly wrong. But the legendary, what's his name on Twitter? Psych Mamter on Twitter.
Yeah, Psych.
He sent me a song to play today. He made a song, I guess, through AI. I don't think he's sitting there and doing like the garage band and playing the songs and all that stuff, the notes and everything. But he sent me a song that he wanted me to play for you, and he thinks this should be how we start the Hot Take Hickey segment right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So, Stu, 1-2, 1-2, schoolie doo.
It's Hickey at night, Sunday. I'm combing our hair with moose gel and spray. The takes are so hot, hot, hot. Sometimes it's right, usually not. This best segment is coming up next, but you better watch out for the Hickey.
Hey, hot takes and hair gel on a Sunday night. Hickey's dropping takes that probably aren't right. Dropping a teaser for what's coming up next,
but you better watch out for the Hickey. Talk talking Penn State while Stu's smoking Kush. But Hickey is always the number one rush. You will not say more smacking more sober than Stu. We only joke of us, we like you. But I have to ask, is it true? Is your hair held together by Pace and Luke? Oh, Hickey's takes are coming up next, but you better watch out for the Hickey Hacks.
It's a job well done.
I do feel very flattered. This is now the second song made by Hickey and Knight in the last week.
Wait.
Bobby Buckwheat has made a song as well.
Uh-oh.
And that's why I thought that was going to
now,
be played.
Now, Bobby could get a little contentious. Did he take a lot of shots at you? Was it mean?
It was kind of similar. I will say,
did he call
I
you
think,
Shep 3,000 times? Or
no, he
like
did
that?
Not. I think Psych Mamter song lyrics were funnier. The beat for sure, way catchier, Bobby Buckwheat.
Really?
Both similar country vibes too. I don't know if it's an AI thing or they both had a similar idea.
Or they could be the same person.
Or they could be the same person. Who knows? Just two different personalities. But wow, I feel very, that's a very funny song. The Hickey X got me. That was very funny.
I know you're a beach guy.
Oh, big time.
I feel like I could bring my Bose speakers to the beach, play that song, crack open a beer, toes in the sand, kind of sitting there, sunscreen on, sandwich, all that stuff. Not a peanut butter sandwich, by the way, at the beach, because I don't think that's all that good. You do that, but I like peanut butter sandwiches, not at the beach. And I think that could be a summer activity.
Name me a better Saturday. I don't think you can.
You should send that song to your girlfriend so when you guys go to the beach together this summer that you guys
have something
to
listen to. I can't
play
that myself. That's a great song. Very catchy. I can't play my own song.
That's why I said send it to your girlfriend.
No.
She'll play it for you.
No, I'm not. No.
I also love in the song how they think like Stu is this like alcoholic and this like
he was just in Arizona
big time
for a week.
Pot smoker.
And took off St. Patrick's Day.
Stu, do you want to defend or acknowledge any of these allegations that have been thrown your way by the listening audience?
I was pretty drunk this weekend,
right?
To be fair.
Stu, are you sober? If we had a breathalyzer, would you pass?
Well, to be determined.
Could you legally drive home right now?
I don't know. Good thing I don't have to drive home.
I was wondering why in the opening segment of the show, he just started firing off random music. You know, Stu, what's going on?
Stu can't see. Oh, one song, everything's blurry.
Dude,
classic,
it's so
Stu.
Loud. Ooh.
Well, clear out the pop before I come in, Stu. That's not exactly the most ventilated room. I don't want to get a secondhand high from your festivities.
Talking about drugs, Ayahuasca Aaron got rejected for now. By the Minnesota Vikings.
According to him and Adam Schefter, he did not get rejected. He was just waiting a while anyway, and maybe he was never interested in the Vikings.
But no, the wording on the Pelissero tweet, though, is interesting.
It was a joke.
I understand what you were saying. I understand humor. You're like, okay at it. But anyway, the wording on the Pelissero tweet. So the first part, the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls and J.J. McCarthy telling other teams they're moving forward with him as their quarterback, sources say. All right, nail in the coffin, right? It's done.
You would think.
But then he follows it up. The team plans to add a veteran, but they're not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. I still believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings come week one. The way I interpreted this is that we're not really interested in Aaron right now. If he wants to come to us and beg us to sign him and take a cheap deal, and I mean a really cheap deal, then maybe the Vikings would have a different conversation and maybe they would have to then think about it longer, because this has been the Vikings' formula, and I'm assuming that Aaron Rodgers wasn't willing to take a big-time discount yet to go to Minnesota, like a little discount, but not a big-time discount. But the Vikings' formula has been build up the team and then cheap out in terms of the salary on the quarterback.
I took that as not money-related, but J.J. McCarthy health-related. In the sense of, he's progressing well, we want to see how it looks in OTAs, and if this guy is just not healthy and ready to go week one, maybe we'll revisit Aaron Rodgers, see if we can bring him back. I don't think it's more about money in terms of getting a pay cut. I think it's, we just want to make sure J.J. McCarthy is good. If he looks good, he's our guy, no doubt about it. Right? If you sign Aaron Rodgers now, McCarthy comes out and OTAs blazing, well, it's kind of too late to undo that. But if he comes out, knee's still bothering him, have to manage it, still rusty, I mean, he didn't practice at all last year after the first preseason game. If he can't hit the ground running, that's when I think they're like, hey, you know, maybe he needs some more time. Maybe a half year on the bench could do him well. Let's go revisit the Rodgers well, or at this point in April, May, see who else is out there. I've seen Kirk Cousins' reunion floated out. Like,
oh,
I think that's
Shefter
to me.
That. I don't get the
trading
point.
I don't know why Kirk would go back.
That's what I said. We're actually in lockstep here. Why would Kirk want to, like, you're a backup right now. So do you just view Minnesota as a destination where it's you could maybe get on the field quicker. I would actually argue that there's a longer shot and chance that you get on the field quicker in Minnesota than Atlanta. Not anything against Michael Penix Jr., but Michael Penix Jr., even though JJ just got hurt, but up until the last 2 to 3 seasons, he suffered a lot of injuries in his career.
He did. I mean, thankfully for him, he's healthier at Washington. But yeah, it's one of the, like, that, or unless he wants to pull a Tanya Harding and just kind of hit JJ McCarthy's knee in practice one day.
Oh,
all of a sudden,
my goodness gracious.
Here's Kirk Cousins back under center.
Guy's going for the overnight job, and now he's like basically advocating murder.
Murder. It was a leg injury, number one. Number two, I would never do it. But if you're Kirk and you're going back to Minnesota, go from one backup job to the next, maybe it's with not the best intentions.
The new league year started on March 12th. Was that last week?
It was. Today's the 19th, exactly a week ago.
So last week when the new league year started, Peter Schrager had a tweet saying for Aaron Rodgers, it could take up to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So that would take us, this is week 1, 2, 3, that would take us to April 9th. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is signed by April 9th?
I don't know. I would probably say no.
He's a drama whore.
I would probably say no. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers guy. I don't have a problem with him waiting.
April 24th.
Will he be? I think so. So I think the teams, I mean, essentially, it's the Giants or the Steelers, right?
It's going to be the Steelers, right?
I would agree. But also, again, it seems obvious, right? The two teams, the directions they're going, you'd much rather go with Pittsburgh. Why is that deal not done yet? Why is it not signed yet?
Here's the interesting thing. Do either team just says, bleep this, we're not waiting anymore? Do either of them have the stones to say, Rodgers, we're setting you a deadline. If not, then we'll just sign Russell Wilson. That's the part that I'm curious to see if either of those teams have the stones to do that.
I think if you're the Steelers, you're more likely to put a deadline than the Giants, right? I think because if you're the Steelers, you still have playoff aspirations. You want a quarterback in there. Let's learn the system. Let's get him in there and get going versus the Giants. I mean,
but the Giants have to know because the Giants need something now. And if you let's say Rodgers signs in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Wilson goes, well, I don't want to wait. And let's just say he, for example, signs in Cleveland. Then the Giants are kind of out of luck in the veteran names that are available. Like what, Jameis Winston then would be your guy? Like,
Joe,
I don't think you're trading for Kirk Cousins. Joe Flacco doesn't move the needle for me. So then for the Giants, you got to hope that either Shador Sanders is there at 3, or you got to trade up to 1. And I don't know if Tennessee's going to trade the pick.
But I think don't they have to do that anyway? Like, you said Jameis Winston's not moving the needle for you. I agree. None of those guys, though, are moving the needle for you. Like, if you're the Giants in 2025, there's no quarterback you can acquire right now that's truly changing this team's trajectory. It isn't all about the future anyway.
Well, if you do so in the draft, I think so,
yeah. Like, right, so it's like these free agent guys, like that's why I think the Giants have less of a deadline. Because, like, it's really their nameless, faceless, interchangeable. Because really, the entire Giants, we believe, right, their fortune will be centered around a quarterback, whether it's Cam Ward, Shador, if they sit there one or sit there 3, trip to one, whatever it is, right? That's still the main focus. Then the veteran guy, even if he starts week one, is still kind of like the afterthought. Okay, our rookie quarterback's still the guy, but now we'll just throw this veteran in again, nameless, faceless, for a week, 5 weeks, whatever it may be, till our rookie's ready. If, I mean, both Shador and Cam have played a while, do you even need to sit them? I don't probably say no.
I would say no, yeah. So rank these options for Rodgers in terms of what you think will happen. Steelers, Giants, retire.
I think
most
that order.
Most likely, least likely.
That order. Steelers, Giants, retire. I don't think he's retiring.
Okay.
He likes the attention too much. He's never going to get, even if he retires and does a show, podcast, whatever, he's still never going to get the attention he gets now as a player. I think he's not ready to give that up. I still would say Steelers, Giants. He would just go for the playoff chase.
I'm trying to think the last time I interviewed for a job, by the way.
Did you technically interview for this role?
Yeah, when I was filling in on the show, that was my interview pretty much.
You're talking about actual sit-down,
yeah,
face-to-face with the bosses. Did you do an interview for your 6 to 10 show?
No.
Before you got here?
No, because I was at a different company for 3 months, and they called me and they said, we're interested.
Did you interview for the different company?
Yeah, I did have a conversation. Like, they knew me already. It wasn't like a formal interview. Like, we talked, but it wasn't anything crazy.
When you did overnights on Saturday and Sunday here on the Infinity Sports Network, did you have an interview?
They had me come in and do three weekends of shows, and that was the audition.
So you've never, in the radio industry...
No, that's not true. My first job out of college, I think that may have been my...
Sit down, face-to-face...
Actually,
boss in the room.
97.5 The Fanatic when I did Eagles postgame, I think, was my last formal interview with the boss. And then when I did 920 The Jersey, this guy David Bevins hired me. That was a sit-down interview. I don't think I...
Did you wear a suit?
For the interview at 97.5 The Fanatic, I think I wore jeans and a button-down.
Hmm.
For the one in New Jersey, I think I wore a suit. And the guy asked me, like, he did the cheesy radio bit, funeral or job interview? Oh, I'm doing the job interview.
Oh, boy, that's tough.
Yeah, it was one of those
comedy and radio
kind of moments. Yeah, no, but
plummeting.
Did the interview go well? Not to get into too specifics?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Also, I don't really know, but I think so. I think it went well.
How many bosses were in there?
Two.
Two?
Okay, two.
So my sources are right.
Two bosses.
Best question you were asked?
Oh, boy. What is the Ryan Hickey Hick at Night experience?
Oh, okay, so you don't really want to get into the details.
Well, no, that was the best question.
Tight-lipped. Smart. No, you should be tight-lipped here.
What do you want me to say?
All right, what's more likely? Let's go around the room here.
Oh, boy.
We get a new overnight host first, or Aaron Rodgers signs his, picks his next team. Stu?
I say Aaron Rodgers first.
Okay. Samter?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. We're not getting our overnight host for another at least 8 months.
I think you couldn't be more wrong. I think we will have a new overnight host before we have an Aaron Rodgers decision.
I'll say this. Stu had the line of the day. He goes, new Pope first.
Either you guys interviewing Stu.
You're killing off the Pope.
I was going to make a white
smoke. Holy cow.
I was going to make a white smoke joke. That's a good job out of you, Stu.
Oh, my God. God.
Santa, are you going for the overnight host? No? Yes? No?
Have you heard me talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear me for 4 hours when they're trying to get to and from their overnight jobs.
Stu, you going for it?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of hosting experience
here. Uh-oh. Hickey's sweating. He's sweating right now.
I would love to if it wasn't 55 degrees in this room.
New overnight host or Aaron Rodgers? Decision. I think we'll have a new overnight host first.
I think Aaron Rodgers is coming sooner than later. I'll say Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
In the next week or two. Gotcha. Within the next 2 weeks.
So we will monitor. You know what? We should, like, TMZ style, Ryan Hurley's office. We'll pay someone that's, like, new around here, and we'll give them, like, lunch, or, you know, I'll even dig into my pockets and
wow,
pull out a few dollars and just have them sit outside the office and be on overnight watch to see who's interviewing. Because you're the first person that I know that formally interviewed. I'm sure there probably were other interviews, but you were the first person that I've seen in the building interviewing. Okay. I'm sure there were others.
I haven't seen anyone else. I believe I'm the first, but I don't know for a fact. I didn't ask, but mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be worried about everybody. You only worry about yourself.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That won't help me out.
Well, confidence, Dexter. Well, yeah, I would not do
that.
Yeah,
watch that hand motion, buddy.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking of it that way. I was just like, the thing that I hate the most with Hickey is when he's like, so-and-so wins, yeah, let's go. No, I just did the hand motion. Jesus.
Oh, I'm pulling that.
Yeah, of course you are.
I'm making a GIF out of that.
Yeah, you'll probably put in your save photos for later or something like that.
Whoa.
You would say GIF, too. You definitely would be a GIF guy.
Final four. Who's your final four?
Who else is a GIF guy? The guy who invented the GIF. He says it's a GIF.
Ugh. Final four.
Who is Houston, Alabama, Auburn, St. John's.
Wait, say that one more time.
Houston.
Okay.
Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, St. John's.
Okay. Good. Cooch. I only have one team.
Oh, my God.
In your final four. And Houston was mine. Duke, Michigan State, Florida, Duke win it all. You know what I hate about March Madness? Now, I ended up taking 3 1s and a 2. Like, I'm not going to sit here and if I get this stuff right, you know, throw it in your face too much. But the minute the bracket came out and the teams were released, I just, when they were doing the boring reveal show on CBS, you know, get Fanta on there, you know, CBS, get Rothstein on there. I thought that show needed a little bit more oomph, a little energy, all right? We need some oomph. But I saw the bracket was released and I just jotted down the four teams I thought would go to the Final Four. And like everyone had the same Final Four as me. Michigan State, Florida, Duke, and Houston. What's your biggest take here? Like your biggest upset?
Keep an eye out. Lipscomb over Iowa State. 14-3.
Okay.
The boys from
and Iowa State
Lipscomb.
One of their marquee players is out, I'm pretty sure.
Second high leading scorer out. Mm-hmm. They shoot a lot of threes. I'll take him. I'll take him a little upset here.
And I heard that you you picked McNeese to beat Clemson, and then Will Wade saw that take, and he's like, oh, my coaching career is screwed. I got to leave.
Sweet 16, I had McNeese. I had him in the Final Four last year, so I really toned it down
did
this year.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They that was a bracket. In the first round, right, last year?
They did. They lost in the first round. Okay. That was the Purdue bracket. I didn't trust Purdue, and of course, Purdue went to the final.
Is it contentious around here with the people in the building all going for the overnight job?
I have not seen many people, so no. Okay. But I'm also a nice guy.
Boyle didn't try to like body slam you. Boyle's Shep didn't nice try to
guy.
Shank you.
Shrep, I haven't really seen Shep in a while, but he's a nice guy. Like, if they want to fight me over, I mean, beat me up.
That actually would be a Royal Rumble for the overnight job. Yeah, throw like EJ, Shep, Hickey, Boyle. You know, I don't know if any of these other guys are going. Gresh, the big fajita. Mark Ryan, I'm just naming anyone on the weekend.
If you name the big fajita and you lose, I would say Rich Herrera's got my money to win.
I don't know. EJ's a huge wrestler, huh?
I'm worried that EJ's going to blow his knee out, though.
Oh. You're a terrible human being.
Fair.
That's a little too soon. It's a little too soon.
When does the window close for that, and now the joke becomes acceptable? That happened in, what, June?
Oh, honestly, the jokes were good 2 days afterwards.
An hour after it happened?
While he's in the ambulance, the jokes were good.
Oh, Samter's one of those guys, too, laughing as it happens.
Yeah, Samter bailed in the kickball game. He's the first one to make the joke about poor EJ. All righty. Well, good luck.
Thanks, E-Man.
We appreciate you joining us, obviously, each and every Wednesday. Now, if you get the overnight job, will you still come on with us on Wednesdays?
Sure. We can make it work.
Okay. But you won't be coming in studio. It'd be via Zoom. You'd be like, all big time, I'm a host now. You know, I'm a douche, all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
You know.
You're probably just waking up around now. Did it for 2 days a few weeks ago.
Oh, how'd that go?
Upside down. Good. It was fun.
Yeah?
It was a lot of fun, yeah. Didn't fall asleep in the air. We'll take it.
You got it. All righty. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. Take Five Wednesday coming up next. The best NCAA tournament shots. Stu, that's not you take a shot of alcohol. That's shots on the basketball court. We'll do that next.
The football season might be over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take Five Wednesday.
Five.
The Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and today's topic, top five shots in the history of the NCAA tournament. And I think there are two shots that are to be left off that could be a little controversial. Now, I don't know if this one has the history, and I don't know how significant in history this shot is, but it's one of the most memorable shots for me, not just because of the actual shot, but a certain reaction to the shot. We go to the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. This was Georgia State and Baylor. 14 seed Georgia State in 2015 going up against number 3 seed Baylor. First round NCAA tournament, 57-56. Georgia State won the game because of this RJ Hunter shot.
Hunter across the timeline, 56-54 Baylor. Hunter gives it to Shipes, back to Hunter for three. Good! 2.6 to play. Georgia State takes a one-point lead. The shot knocked Ron Hunter right off his chair.
Now, the reason why that's so bleeping awesome, and, you know, I remember the TV broadcast because Lapis was doing it, and he was like, they gotta go. They gotta go. They gotta go. And it was like, oh, no, no, yes, when the shot did go in. And he goes, that was like the craziest thing I've ever seen. But Ron Hunter, the coach, who suffered an injury, he's coaching on a chair. And when his son hits the shot, and at the time he's the coach of Georgia State, now Ron Hunter is the coach of Tulane, he just falls right off the chair out of pure elation. So that moment to me is number five and at the top five shots in the history of the NCAA tournament. We then go to an iconic one coming in at number four. 70-69, Valparaiso takes down Ole Miss, 13 beating of four. We take you back to 1998, this courtesy of CBS when Bryce Drew had this magical shot.
The inbounds pass to be thrown by Jamie Sykes. Carter pressuring. It's to Jenkins. The Drew for the win. Gone. Oh! He did it. Bryce Drew did it. Valpo has won the game. A miracle.
And that goes back. We start things off. RJ Hunter, Ron Hunter, and then Homer Drew and Bryce Drew. So a lot of father-son start off this Take 5 Wednesday on the five best shots in the history of the NCAA tournament. I thought this one, if Gonzaga did go on to win it all, could have been higher up on the list. But we take you back to 2021. Gonzaga, undefeated at the time, right? They ended up losing the national championship game, but they're up against the 11 seed UCLA Bruins, Final Four, when Jalen Suggs, half-court, you know, winner to put his team in the national championship. This was 93-90 in favor of the Zags. This courtesy of CBS.
Zag. Again with the ball in his hands. In the paint. Floater. Short. Got it back. Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. One of the great games.
And I remember him because that was still during the COVID time, so there was like barely any fans in the building. He's standing up on the scorer's table, Jalen Suggs, celebrating. And he, like, could you imagine if we had a full crowd for that? That would have made the moment even better. And oh, Bill Raftery, there's nothing like it this time of the year. Ooh, onions, a little kiss, onions, ooh, double sauteed. Unbelievable. Stu, though, didn't get onions on his cheesesteak at D'Alessandro's. Oh, you did or you didn't?
I got onions. I didn't get the peppers.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. Right. That's right. So you got D'Alessandro's, a cheesesteak with, ooh, onions. Love Bill Raftery. Let's go to Christian Laettner. This courtesy of, this is when it was CBS Radio Sports. Not CBS Sports Radio. CBS Radio Sports. And Host Communications, 1992, we take you to the Elite Eight in at number two, Duke and Kentucky. Duke wins 104-103. Do we even need to tell you who makes the shot? Well, we'll do so anyway. Christian Laettner.
Bobby Hurley up the floor with Laettner. They throw it the length of the floor. Laettner catches, comes down, dribbles, shoots, scores! Christian Laettner has hit the bucket at the buzzer! The Blue Devils win it! 104-103! Look out, Minneapolis! Here come the Blue Devils!
And then finally, we take you back to CBS. Villanova, UNC, in the championship game. I'll never forget this. You had, I remember this sequence perfectly, the acrobatic shot by Marcus Page. Now, I think the Elite Eight game was in Philadelphia, where UNC won. So they win the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. I'm in the locker room post-game interviewing Marcus Page. Marcus Page then changes Twitter profile picture to me and him. He has the net around his neck that they cut down, and I'm in his Twitter profile picture as this shot. Right, as they punch their ticket to go to the Final Four, we know they end up getting to the national championship game, and you have Marcus Page with that acrobatic shot, then Oshefu mopped it, like was mopping the court, RJ Diakono flipped the ball to Chris Jenkins, Jenkins for the championship, obviously, and he hits the buzzer beater, Rolly Massimino, late great Rolly Massimino, the elation that he had, Jay Wright, how stoic he was, and how he was just like, bang, and then acted as if nothing happened. He was just shocked, but this was the call courtesy of CBS on the Chris Jenkins buzzer beater.
They go length of the court with Archie Diakono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
So there you
you go. Those are my five greatest shots, in my opinion, of the NCAA tournament. RJ Hunter, Bryce Drew, Jalen Suggs, Christian Laettner, Chris Jenkins. I know there's two egregious ones that aren't in there. I'll give you my explanation why. So, Moist Mike, speak now, forever hold your peace.
I'll get to those two egregious ones later, but let's get some of the other ones that were fun and interesting. First, we have UNI, Northern Iowa, 11 seed versus number 6 Texas. This was back in 2016. Paul Jesperson with the game-winning half-court buzzer beater. Why is that not in there?
So, I just am a sucker for Ron Hunter falling out of the chair. You know, I understand the history of the RJ Hunter shot. There's others that have greater history on this list. But father-son moment, son hits the shot, ill-advised three-point attempt. He makes it from way downtown, and then the dad falls out of the chair. That's just the emotional moment for me. It really is.
All right, well, you might be too young for this one to really fully remember, but Tyus Edney, 1995, UCLA was the number one team in the country. Yeah. Everyone had them winning the tournament. They were down to Missouri in the second round, the 8 or 9 seed Missouri. Tyus Edney goes behind his back, coast to coast, lays it up at the buzzer for UCLA. They go on to win the national championship. That could be in there, too.
It's actually funny because we were talking about this yesterday when we were going through this, and I know that's not even the egregious one that I had. I seriously thought about putting that one in there because they did go on to win the championship. It was just, it's a remarkable play. Right? But I know he goes from, you know, coast to coast, but the actual shot was right in front of the basket. And that was a differentiating factor for me.
All right, now here come the two egregious ones. Yep. Here's the first one, 1983.
Ack is really mad at my list, I could tell.
Yeah.
Because Ack put the headset on.
Yep.
And he looked like he was ready to just spit fire and absolutely eviscerate my list because Ack is awesome with history. Ack is now sticking out his tongue right now like he's a fire-breathing
spitting
dragon.
Fire.
You are very, very upset with me.
His face has gone from red to purple. I'm assuming because this one and maybe the next one as well.
Yeah.
1983, Lorenzo Charles catching an air ball, dunking it in for NC State. Jim Valvano running on the court, going crazy, losing his mind. How could that be not in your list?
It's a great moment. If it was iconic moments of the NCAA tournament, that's easily in the top five. The name, though, of this exercise and the topic was greatest shots. It was an air ball first, and then it was put in, like right in front. It's an incredible sequence, but greatest shots, that to me, it's such an important moment. You can't tell the history of college basketball without it. But it wasn't some incredible shot. It was grabbing an air ball and putting it right there into the bucket. So that was my reasoning for that, Mr. Ack.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't hate the explanation.
I don't hate the explanation.
All right. Now this one I think is the one that Ack is a little unhappy on the one that I left off.
This one might be the most egregious. The year before Lorenzo Charles. They're on Tobacco
That's
Road.
One.
Yeah. They're at North Carolina, the Tar Heels. A little-known player who you may or may not have ever heard of. His name was Michael Jordan, middle name Jeffrey, with UNC down by one to Georgetown and Patrick Ewing. Michael Jordan hits a game-winning shot with about 7 seconds left. And then the next play, James Worthy steals the ball for UNC to seal and clinch the win. An epic, absolutely momentous moment in the national championship game. And unlike Jenkins, where it was a tie game, he misses it, go to overtime. This was a down by one. Jordan's shot put them up by one. And it's Michael freaking Jordan.
Yeah, so
Michael Jordan.
This was the one I felt the worst about leaving off. Because, like, I'll even admit it's stupid when, you know, I get the sentimental father-son moment between Ron and RJ Hunter. It's kind of crazy, though, and this is a dumb explanation. I'm saying this from the start. Jordan's career is obviously so iconic. When you talk about Michael Jordan's career, do we really mention the UNC days all that much? We mainly talk about Michael Jordan, the NBA player. So it should absolutely be in the top five. But I just feel because of the Jordan legacy and how great it is, it's a moment that we really don't even talk that much about when we talk about the great career of Michael Jordan. And I know Ack will not like that explanation.
Nah, not really. The only thing I could say is it wasn't at the buzzer.
Okay.
And Georgetown had a chance to win the game.
but they threw it away.
Yeah. So you look at that sequence a little bit more important than the shot?
No, I think the shot is one of the most iconic in NCAA tournament history. But I, when you go for buzzer beaters, I could say, all right, well, that wasn't at the buzzer.
Okay.
But that's in my list. That's okay.
Gotcha. Do you have any other ones that you're...
Keith Smart for the national championship in 87. March 14th, 1981, the day the madness was born.
All right here.
Within a span of a few minutes, St. Joseph's upset number one, DePaul, going the length of the floor and getting a layup as time was running out. Minutes later, U.S. Reed of Arkansas knocking out defending champ Louisville with a half-court heave. And then a little while later, Rolando Blackman hitting a jumper to upset Oregon State, which I believe was, if not second, I think they were certainly in the top four. They may have been fourth that year.
Mm-hmm.
So those definitely come to mind right away.
You're a good sports trivia guy, right?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it depends.
But like you're awesome with dates, I would imagine.
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
We should, like, find a challenge for acting.
And another one, I think it was 81, Danny Ainge going the length of the floor to upset Notre Dame.
All righty. Look at the Ackman.
The buzzer beater a layup at the buzzer.
We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe? Who should be QB3 of this draft? Update time first. Here's Ack. Uber Eats is delivering game day deals from hundreds of your local favorites all week. Order now on Uber Eats. Product availability varies by region. See app for details. If I laid into the accent, Uber Eats. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. This was Aaron Murray with us yesterday saying his quarterback 3 in this draft class is actually Jalen Milroe.
Go back and watch that Alabama-Georgia game. Jalen made Malachi look so slow. I was shocked. He made Malachi look like his feet were stuck in sand. I mean, that's the type of athleticism that quarterback has. And he made Georgia's defense, 3 guys going to be drafted in the first round, look slow. He has it factors that excite me, that if you can figure out a way to kind of bottle some stuff up, you could be talking about a pretty special player eventually.
So you would say your 3 quarterbacks in this draft are Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, and then Jalen Milroe 3, if you were a GM?
Yeah, those are my 3 if I'm a GM. I'm going with those. You know, I'm not down on Jackson Dart at all. There's just nothing elite to me.
So Jalen Milroe today at Alabama's Pro Day ran a 4.3740. That's what he ran in the 40. I've said this before. I'm not really interested in the quarterbacks in the draft unless if they're not named Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Like, those are the 2 guys I think are going to be, if they're going to be good quarterbacks in this draft class, hot take of the day, it's going to be those 2 guys. But if you said, okay, who is 3? I don't think it's Kyle McCord. I know Kyle McCord had a very good year at Syracuse, but up against Ohio State, I know he beat Notre Dame, but he should have thrown a pick. And then also that last game up against Michigan, you know, he threw the interception to Rod Moore. So I don't think it's McCord. Tyler Shuck, I'm sorry. You know, to me, he's a backup quarterback in the league. Will Howard has backup quarterback vibes to me. So it really comes down to, do you go Jalen Milroe or do you go Jackson Dart? I'm a little bit surprised you haven't heard more Dylan Gabriel. Because I remember at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, when I talked to him, I put out some video of my conversation with him. And Orlovsky, who's really good with the draft stuff, right? He does college, he does NFL. Orlovsky's like, don't be surprised if he's a first-round pick. And I looked at a quarterback ranking the other day. They had him like QB 7 or 8 of this draft. So I look at the 3 best quarterbacks in this draft. I would say Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. And then if you have the top 3 spots, like who's the 3rd spot, I think you consider Jalen Milroe. You consider Jackson Dart. And I'm going to consider still Dylan Gabriel. Now, Gabriel's size is a concern. And he did bounce around a bunch of places, and he was good at UCF. He was good at Oklahoma, and he was very good at Oregon. But to Murray's point, why I think Aaron Murray is right, if you don't love any of the quarterbacks, you look at who has the highest upside. And I hate when people say, oh, this person has the highest ceiling. Drives me nuts. Do you have enough tape out there that could actually suggest that you could reach that ceiling? That's a big thing for me. And I remember Hickey and I, we almost got into a fight in the newsroom over Anthony Richardson. He's like, oh, he's got the highest ceiling in the draft. I go, give me five moments that suggest to me in the college career of Anthony Richardson that he could replicate that in the NFL to reach what you think is a high ceiling for him. You know, same stuff was Trey Lance, too. How'd that work out? But I look at Anthony Richardson, or excuse me, Jalen Milroe. He does give me Anthony Richardson vibes. But for Jalen Milroe, that first half up against Georgia is a moment, right? Is a big moment. And you look at someone like a Jalen Hurts and the style of how much he runs, and Hurts has a much better arm than Milroe. It's like, can you get Milroe to be Hurts? Can you? Now, Hurts had a lot more time in college, two different stops, and he had a lot higher success rate than Jalen Milroe. But I look at Jalen Milroe, him as a throw of a football at times is just so flat. He is either on and he looks unstoppable, or he's off and he looks miserable. There is no middle ground for Jalen Milroe, but I don't love Jackson Dart. You know, I watched Jackson Dart against Georgia, Kentucky, Florida. I was never blown away by Jackson Dart. And Gabriel probably has the best tape and the most tape to be QB3, but that lack of size is a concern. So if you want to run a ton and just develop him as a passer, I guess Jalen Milroe is 3. So pretty much, it's a long answer. I'll condense it. I want Cam Ward. I want Shedeur Sanders. Everybody else, who gives a rat's ass? Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. We're coming on back. We're talking potential new rules in the NFL next.